Hey everyone, welcome into the 23's The Mic Studios. I'm your host Nadim, and much like sports, 23's The Mic is back. We'll get into that and more on today's episode. Let's go. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to 23's The Mic. It feels so good to be able to say that. I'm Nadim, your host. You can find me on Instagram at NadimN22 and on Twitter at TheDreamN22. And make sure you follow all of our 23's The Mic content on Instagram and Twitter. We'll be coming out with some weekly videos and episodes and keeping you up to date with all the sports content and breaking news that are going on. That is all on our Instagram and Twitter page, like I said, at 23's The Mic. First and foremost, before we start the show and get into it, we want to wish all of you and your loved ones wellness and safety and health in this troubling time. So give us a shout on Twitter or Instagram and tell me what your kind of favorite pastimes have been, kind of like how you've been doing different things during the last 4 months. And at the end of the show, we're going to rank the top quarantine pastimes that I've been doing or seeing that have been trending all over the place over the last 4 months. And as I'm watching the Manchester City game right now, up 2-0 against Watford, you know, the EPL has been taking up most of my time when it comes to watching sports. At the beginning of the kind of quarantine period, like March, April, I think a lot of people are doing a lot of like revisionist history, going back and watching your top favorite sports moments or whatnot. Entertainment moments in general, there's been a lot of like movie and TV rewatches and stuff going on because they're just nothing really to fill your time with other than that. Sitting at home, spending time with family, always a good thing. Being away from New York or being away in New York for so long, it was really nice to kind of like come back home and be with family for the majority of the period. But now, yeah, we're getting back into sports. Baseball's starting up this Friday. Football, I think there's a little trouble with that. And then basketball is next week. The bubble's going on. A lot of players are opting out, but you know, at least it's something. As Kevin De Bruyne almost scores another goal from a free kick. So with that, we will get into our news and notes of the day. I woke up this morning and I was on Twitter, and one of the hashtags that I saw that was trending was boycott MLB. And when you see a lot of these boycott something over the past, I would say 3 months with this whole Black Lives Matter situation that's going on in our country, as we are becoming more aware socially, but also in our practices and policies and politics. You know, we want more people in the minority to have office. We want more people in the minority to have power because we as minorities want to be represented better. So in the past 3 months, we've seen a lot of boycott trends where people are getting canceled or organizations are getting canceled for being anti-Black, being racist, being prejudiced against minorities. And that's what I was used to. So when I saw boycott MLB, I was thinking, okay, this is the MLB has taken a stance against Black people or racism, or they haven't been trying to, you know, spread the message, spread awareness, because a big problem of what these organizations do is that they will sit back and relax. Even sitting back and doing nothing, even if you're not being openly racist, that still is a part of the problem. People will sit back and be content with what they have and the privileges that they have. And that's okay for them, and that shouldn't be okay because, you know, we have certain privileges that other people don't. So that's what I thought, and that's, I think, an important thing to put out there, because of the fact that with the BLM movement going on, it doesn't stop just because the protests have decreased in number of people. I think this is a movement that has been going on. You see it in the EPL. And the EPL is doing a great job of it, because not only did they start their restart season with Black Lives Matter on their jerseys, but they also, at every game before the kickoff, they have everyone kneeling down for 2 minutes without some people put their fists up in the air, and they acknowledge and they show and spread awareness for this movement. And that's in Europe. That's in the English football. Here in America, I would be interested to see how our sports leagues will demonstrate this movement, because I think this is a movement that is very, very strong as of right now, where it's influenced a lot of people in society, but also impacts people in all of our favorite sports. a lot of minorities, a lot of African Americans are the top players in our sports, i.e. Patrick Mahomes, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, you name it, Mookie Betts, anybody. You know, there's a laundry list of African Americans that provide so much to our sports and our games. So this morning, and I can say this, that I'm very proud that the MLB tweeted yesterday a picture of San Francisco Giants players kneeling during the national anthem. And this is definitely progress. This is definitely something that wouldn't have happened when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling, when Eric Reed were kneeling. And what's really cool to see is that the MLB not only is spreading the awareness, but also they're not backing away from the issues. No one's backing away from the issues now. It's not stick to sports anymore. Sports podcasts should be openly able to talk about these issues. And they should be able to spread awareness because the podcasts, these platforms, all these different places. You see Arian Foster come on Part of My Take and talk about this. Shout out Part of My Take. But they had a whole situation and segment where Arian Foster is going off for about like 40 minutes about this entire issue because they want to spread awareness for this issue because it's important to. So Boycott MLB was actually a movement started by, I mean, people that are racist, people that went against the kneeling, people that will bring up the fact that the kneel or the idea, this ludicrous idea, that kneeling is going against the flag, is going against our military, when it's not. Kneeling has to do with only social justice, with only African Americans being persecuted by the police, and the injustices that are going on in our country. And this is something that I think we should all step up for and fight against. Because why should we boycott a league that is raising awareness so that people can be equal, so that minorities can feel free in this country, truly free and safe in this country, and be as privileged as those whites who have all the privileges, who don't need to be scared when they get stopped by a police officer. And just to see that, the fact, and it was interesting because it was trending on Twitter, but it didn't have that much substance behind it. There wasn't much steam behind it. There wasn't much of a rolling kind of momentum behind it. And Manchester City just scored a fourth goal. And, you know, that's something that hopefully continues. But also, let's see. I'm waiting to see how these leagues will address this issue, how they'll come out against racism. Because you can't just sit back and relax. I think it needs to be said. And the NBA is instituting Black Lives Matter on their actual court, which is really cool to see. So hopefully we're headed into a positive direction as a society. Elsewhere in the news, Chris Jones, defensive end of the Kansas City Chiefs, who just signed that beautiful four-year, $85 million contract, had a LeBron James to the Miami Heat type press conference. He stated that the Kansas City Chiefs would be a dynasty and they would win not one, not two, not three, not four, but five rings. Now, I'm skeptical and rightfully so, but it begs the question that these small markets, when they win, and small markets are huge in the NFL. You have places like New Orleans, Green Bay, Baltimore, Seattle, not the biggest markets. These are the teams that have the best track record, I would say, this past decade. You look at the Packers, dominated the NFC North. The Saints are always that team that win the South and have the highest Super Bowl expectations, but don't actually pan out in the end. And then you have teams like the Seahawks, teams like the Ravens, who are relevant now. Seahawks have been relevant for the past decade. So you see these small markets finally, they've been at the top of the NFL for, I want to say, the better part of this decade. But until the Kansas City Chiefs won, they haven't really eclipsed that margin. Now you see the Kansas City Chiefs pay out $503 million. You're going to pay $500 million to a quarterback over the span of 10 years. You're going to pay Chris Jones $85 million. You're going to throw out all of these contracts. You're going to have to pay Tyreek Hill. You're going to have to pay Travis Kelce. You're going to have to pay Damian Williams if you want to keep him. And how are you going to be able to build a roster? I mean, that secondary is going to be depleted. Your offensive line is going to be depleted because you can't pay anybody. So I do not think that these Chiefs will be a dynasty, but not only do you have to look at the team, you got to look at the other side. What is the competition right now? You have Lamar Jackson, who I believe is a little overrated because after one MVP season, everyone's crowning him as the second best quarterback in the league when you have guys like Russell Wilson who are better than him, who can elevate you to win a playoff game. When you have guys like Deshaun Watson who are better than him, who can also elevate you to a playoff win. And you have a guy that is, I want to say, forgotten about, but also hated on the most, and I think that's Carson Wentz. If he can stay healthy, if he can stay on the field, Carson Wentz is a top three talent. Carson Wentz can run and he can sling the ball as good as anybody. You also have guys on the other side of the field like Aaron Rodgers. You also have guys in the division of the Kansas City Chiefs like Drew Locke, who has a great chance to potentially become a star in Denver. Look at the weapons they put around him. You got Jerry Jeudy. You got Kevin Hamlin. You have a good young receiving core. You have good young backs. And they just got Melvin Gordon, too. He's not bad. You have Justin Herbert. Who knows what he could do in LA? LA's had a great roster for the better part of 3 years. The last time that 23 is the Mic was going live on the air, you had us here that picked the Chargers to beat the New England Patriots in the AFC divisional round in 2018. And what was the biggest problem with the Chargers? Phillip Rivers throws too many interceptions. Well, now, Phillip Rivers is gone. Mike Williams in his third year. Keenan Allen is still there. Austin Eckler had a breakout season last year. So that division's tough. And who knows? Cam Newton to the Patriots. Bill Belichick, you give him a mobile quarterback for the first time in his career? Who knows what he could do there? Maybe get some better weapons around him. He's got Edelman. He's got Sanu. Sony Michel isn't too bad, but that offensive line took a step back last year. And don't forget, do not forget, the team people are sleeping on. The team I was so high on 2 years ago. Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. That offense didn't go away. Those players didn't go away. OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. You get Baker in offensive line and you want to see where he goes? Because I'll tell you, that's not a 500 team anymore. That team doesn't have Freddie Kitchens and online problems. It is definitely all on Baker this year, 100%. But man, if he gets to his potential, if he achieves the heights that he is capable of with that offense, with that rising defense, Myles Garrett and those boys who just got paid. Who knows? Who knows where that team could be? You could be looking at a completely different league this time. All right, switching gears a little bit, we'll talk about our hometown Chicago Cubs. The Cubs are coming off what would be a disappointing last couple seasons. Actually, they've been going down a pretty steady decline, a linear decline. Over the years, won the World Series, lost in the NLCS, lost in the wild card, lost before the playoffs even happened. Completely choked away a playoff lead. Now, the Cubs have been notorious in the past 4 years of getting off to great starts and not being able to hold on, having that August-September drought where the bats just go silent and the pitching and the defense aren't that great. Now, one of the major factors last year for the Cubs was that in the NL, they ranked 11th in defense. And I think that had to do with tired play, but also a lack of commitment from these players. And I think this is the first year that we'll see a completely different team in general. I think that the Cubs as a whole will be different. You have David Ross that just announced Kyle Hendricks will be the opening day starter. That's a huge change from our John Lester and Jake Arrieta combo that we've had the past 4 years. You have this core of guys, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras. Is this the last run we'll have with these guys? You can look ahead to the 2021 arbitration and you can see reasons for these guys might leave. And you had Wilson Contreras rumors that I broke to him, by the way. On Instagram, he did not know that they were shopping him at all. I asked him about it and he said, what? And that was a really interesting situation. But this could be our last run, you know? This could be it. I mean, you have Almora, who has not panned out to the prospect that we had hoped he'd be. You had him and Ian Happ also, who's kind of a subpar defender, but Ian Happ is taking that next step this year. I think Ian Happ is the X factor of this team right now. He's that one guy outside the core that will carry the load, that needs to carry the load. You have still Jason Hayward's here. He really hasn't panned out to the 184-7-year deal, but that World Series speech will still live to this day. But he's not getting any better anytime soon. But my biggest question for this team is, what can Grandpa Ross do different? What can Grandpa Ross change? What culture can he bring? What kind of juice, momentum can he bring? Can he invigorate our locker room? Can he invigorate our guys to not go through that offensive slump? And granted, I mean, that offensive slump is such a kind of symbol of our team for the last 5 years. We had the slump in the Mets series in 2015. We had a slump, that two-game slump in the Dodger series. We had a two-game slump in the World Series. I mean, this is kind of like a pattern that the Cubs have, and we need to kind of like get through, because listen, like, these slumps are killing us. And in a 60-game season, you cannot afford to have a slump. You can't afford to have a 6-game losing streak or a 5-game losing streak, because right there, that's 10% of the games. You're almost out of it at that point. A 6-game losing streak is equivalent to like a 17-game losing streak in a 162-game season. So it's really important for these guys to get off to a good start. You're not really going to see players resting. You're not going to see tired arms. You're going to see a lot of just go, go, go from the start. And the green light's going to be on. And I want to see which players step up that we're not ready for. Because the Brewers are still there. The Cardinals won the division last year. The Pirates are always that pesky team, and the Reds are, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers got Mookie Betts. The Phillies have Harper, who killed us last year. So it's really important to get off to a good start. And I think Ross is going in a good direction. I like the rotation setup. I like Hendricks to be that number one. I like Darvish to be that number two. He had a 3.45 ERA in the second half last year. That's not bad compared to the abysmal start that he got off to last year. And I think mental toughness and that motivation will kick in from the start, and he just has to have positive vibes flow through. And then we get to the third spot, which is kind of confusing because Jose Quintana cut his hand while washing dishes. What is that? Like, that is as ridiculous as a Matt Cain chopping vegetables and cutting your hand and getting on the DL. Like, come on, Q. He's a shoo-in for the third starter. Now, Lester says that Chatwood might get the nod, and Chatwood is the equivalent of Mitchell Trubisky. Chatwood has good stuff. I would say better stuff at baseball than Mitch does at football and being a quarterback, but he just doesn't have that mental edge. Like, he will be wild, Carlos Marmol-esque, but worse because he doesn't have that mental edge. He'll walk in five guys in a game, and I mean, that's on a consistent basis last year and what we've seen of him in 2018. And so between him, Q, and Lester, that's our 3-4-5. And how confident are we in these guys? I would take John in a big game for sure, but he took a step back last year. You saw him lose a step in his game. He's getting older. And let's be honest, the pitching just didn't get it done last year. The pitching was terrible last year. And that's why they brought in guys like Jeremy Jeffers. And I'm looking forward to what Brad Wheat can give us again, after giving us a batting average against righties of .183 last year. And that's pretty good. That's really good, actually. Jeremy Jeffers was part of that Brewers bullpen that's been dominant for a couple of years now, next to Josh Hader. And the biggest question is, what is Craig Kimbrell going to give us? Is he going to give us home runs, or is he actually going to shut down guys and give us some Red Sox, some Atlanta Braves form from when he was an all-star? And the addition of Jason Kipnis, also a huge, huge deal, because, I mean, we haven't had consistent play at second base for a while. And even though he signed a minor league deal, he's been working his way up to the big leagues. You saw him hit a home run against the White Sox in the exhibition game. So I think he's going to be a good addition. We just got to see the consistency, because we've had these guys come up from different teams that have had great history in their careers, like Carlos Gonzalez, for example, that have just not gotten the job done. They're too old or whatnot. So hopefully Jason Kipnis can provide that consistency at second base that we've been lacking with the issues with Ben Zobrist and Addison Russell. This team does have what it takes to win the Central. I truly believe that. bias or no bias, this team definitely has the pieces. It's just about the execution. How can Grandpa Ross light a fire under this team so that we have a better outcome than we did last year, so that we end the season better than we did last year? And, I mean, this Corona season is 60 games. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. You have a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, who are looked at as potentially favorites coming out of nowhere. Because it's a 60-game season, all these, you know, lower market teams, they have an advantage. They can take advantage of the situation. And it comes down to injuries, who actually gets the virus. So there's so much that remains to be seen. We're starting it off this Friday. Hopefully that deems well for the Cubs. Before we get into our final segment of the day, we'll just touch upon a couple of the highlights over the quarantine period. The biggest news I would say that came out of the NFL was the story from the Washington Post last week, where 15 women have accused members of the Washington organization of sexual harassment, assault, or misconduct. This is a huge deal, especially implicating Daniel Snyder, Jay Gruden, the head coach of the team, the owner of the team, and many people within the scouting department that had just no idea it had happened. It was a terrible look, not only due to the fact of what happened, but also because a lot of these guys that were mentioned in the report got fired the week before the report came out. So you're kind of looking at it from an angle of, oh, are you upset about the actual events that occurred, or are you just upset that you got caught? And that's kind of what the organization is seeing. You've seen this Washington franchise who have, you know, deemed with wanting to have a team name change, and that hasn't happened yet. But that also came out only when the story was about to be leaked. We all thought it was in good faith. Turns out not to be the case. This Washington organization, I gotta be careful not to use the R words. This Washington organization has been run to the ground. I mean, they haven't really been relevant for a while. RG3 was probably the biggest thing that's happened to them over the past decade. Kirk Cousins is also there, but I mean, these players, I do feel for them. I feel for the players of this organization. But the man I really truly feel sorry for is Ron Rivera, who has stepped into this organization. This is his first year, and Daniel Snyder has really put the onus on him to kind of change the culture. And when you're Daniel Snyder and all this stuff has been going on during your watch since 2006, for the last 13, 14 years, this stuff has been going on. And you just sat back and watched, or maybe turned a blind eye to it. And you're coming in and telling this really, really well-respected, really good reputation coach, Ron Rivera, who used to be the former defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears when they went to the Super Bowl. You're telling him that, hey, I want you to be the guy that changes culture. You probably didn't know all these stories that were going on as Ron Rivera. And now it's on you. You have the responsibility to come in here and change something that you had no idea and you probably didn't want anything to be a part of in the first place. So it'll be interesting how Ron Rivera does. I'm sure he'll do it with class. And it'll be interesting to see. Now, Rivera's former teammate or his former quarterback, Cam Newton, also signed a one-year, $1 million deal with incentives to pay out $7 million to join the New England Patriots. This is going to be interesting. Bill Belichick with a mobile quarterback, as I stated at the beginning of the show. Let's see what happens. This whole offseason, everyone's been crowning the Bills as the new champions of the AFC East. Brady's gone. Gronk's gone. The Patriots took a step back last year. The Patriots made the playoffs. The Patriots' defense was amazing last year. Fantasy-wise, the Patriots' defense was giving you 20 points a game in the first half of the season. Josh Allen's got a rocket arm, but does he have a touch of accuracy? I didn't see it last year. Sure, he improved, but did you watch the wild card game against the Houston Texans where he chucked the ball lateral? Like 20 yards with a minute plus left in the game. In crunch time, I don't think Josh Allen's that guy. I think there are a number of quarterbacks in the league that you want to give the ball to in the playoffs or in closing minutes of a game. And I don't think Josh Allen's one of them. I don't think Lamar Jackson's one of them. I don't think Lamar Jackson can win you games in the playoffs. Tom Brady is that guy. Aaron Rodgers is that guy. I even think Deshaun Watson's that guy. Russell Wilson, Mahomes, Drew Brees, to a certain degree. Drew Brees has won a Super Bowl, but I don't think that crowns him with anything because of the fact of how his team's played. I mean, Drew Brees is, the Saints fans have been crying over these pass interference calls. You got screwed by the Rams. You still had the ball. You could have won that game. You got screwed by the refs against the Vikings, where Kirk Cousins led the team down the field after you had the ball first, led the drive down the field in overtime. Kirk Cousins, we're talking about 0 for 8 on Monday nights. And these type of I think Cam Newton can lead you to a win in the playoffs. And if he's healthy, look out. I think this fit in New England is a match made in heaven. The only thing he's lacking is weapons. He doesn't have a good tight end. He has Julian Edelman. Mohamed Sanu is a third wide receiver, potentially at best. Right now in his career, at least. He might be better at throwing the football than catching it. And Sony Michel is there. But let's hope that offensive line is better. If that offensive line is good, imagine what Bill Belichick is going to scheme up for a mobile quarterback. Not only a mobile quarterback, but a power run quarterback. That is going to be something to watch. And of course, the biggest news in terms of acquisitions, transactions in the league is Tom Brady to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here it is. You're pairing the greatest quarterback of all time, giving him two all-pro potential receivers, giving him his own tight end in Robert Gronkowski, giving him O.J. Howard, who underperformed because he didn't get the ball last year, but is a top tight end talent. And you just drafted Keyshawn Vaughn, who is a good pass-catching running back. And you have Peyton Barber, who's a decent running back. You have Ronald Jones, who continues to get better year by year. You have assembled a team of all-stars around Tom Brady, and you just gave him the keys to the castle. And that's going to be fun to watch because guess what? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were one of the best run defenses in the league last year. And they're just going to get better. And with Tom Brady there, they are Super Bowl contenders. And we'll see where that goes. 23's the Mic. We'll take a quick break. Come back after this. Today's 23's the Mic episode is brought to you by my friend Hafsa Khan and her work at halfandhalf.com. Hafsa Khan is an artist and an immigration advocate from Columbus, Ohio. She has been working to incorporate both of her identities to produce work that reflects her hyphenated self. Hafsa Khan calls herself the Midwest Maharani, bringing her heritage and culture to the Midwest, introducing the world to the everyday royalty present in the spirit of a South Asian woman. You can find out more about Hafsa and her work at halfandhalf.com or on Instagram at halfandhalf. Be sure to check out her work and get you some Half and Half merch. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's 23's the Mic. We all here at 23's the Mic want to wish you all health and safety and protection from any diseases or viruses for you and your loved ones. It is a troubling time, but is also a time that gives us a lot of more time to have on our hands. And a lot of people are doing some different things with the time that they have, you know, watching these Netflix shows that are going viral. Me and my friend actually started a quarantine movie list where we had about like 30 to 35 movies that we've never seen before, like classics, like taken from the IMDb top rated movies, or going through like different directors that we liked, such as like Scorsese or Tarantino, and like watching a bunch of these movies that I've never seen before. Like Schindler's List. I don't know if you guys have seen Schindler's List. It's amazing. Must watch. Also the saddest movie I've ever seen. But things like this kind of fill up our time. So here at 23's with Mike, for a closing segment, we're going to rank the top five quarantine pastimes. Starting with number five, it is Call of Duty Warzone and basketball. I put these two together because they kind of go hand in hand. A lot of guys and girls within the community have been picking up playing basketball outside, getting active by doing that because home workouts are hard. Gyms are opening up too, but no one really wants to go to gyms right now just because of the safety reasons. So basketball is a big thing to go out to like a local park or something, be able to play. Also Warzone, everyone's on Warzone. Everyone's been on Warzone. I never even played Warzone before quarantine, but because of, you know, certain situations and circumstance, I've been playing a lot of Warzone. I have 5 dubs, not that good. But hey, if you guys want to play Warzone, hit me up whenever. Leave your DM me like your gamer tag or gamer tag solo thing. I think it was a 360 thing. But yeah, shout out to my Warzone team, Umair and Sefia, and our boy Hazem, who carried us to 2 wins yesterday. So hopefully we get on more of those. At number 4, we have House Party. Do you guys remember that app in high school that you kind of used to talk to your friends? Well, here in 2020, it has come back to life. House Party is this like awesome group FaceTime app that has like games and stuff, and was really, really going viral at the beginning of quarantine. Everyone was on House Party. I saw people I haven't talked to in years that I talked to on House Party because everyone was on it, and you can see all your friends being on it and Adam and whatnot. And it's like really good for group video calls it's a much better option than like Zoom or group FaceTime, in my opinion, because it's a max of 8 people. That's the only drawback, but you're able to have like a bunch of conversations in it. With Zoom, you're having like a bunch of people that are on it, but like you don't really, you're not able to pay attention to everyone who's talking, and you can't really like let's say you're meeting for a Zoom birthday. We've had these so much in like March and April. There's really no point to it. Like, you just see people, you're not able to talk to them, so it's kind of like a weird, really awkward vibe that has. At number 3, we have docuseries. So the documentaries that have come out during quarantine have been hit or miss. You have The Last Dance, which was a viral sensation, probably the most watched documentary live on television. I think it's definitely the ESPN's 30 for 30 top documentary all time. That was really good. That kind of shows you the behind the scenes of the 90s Bulls. And then it gives you that kind of Michael Jordan backstory with his gambling issues, with his competition issues, with his kind of like societal issues when it comes to like not stepping up for things he should step up for. As an athlete, you have this, as the greatest athlete potentially other than Muhammad Ali, you have this kind of platform that you can use to really influence things. Imagine if someone like Michael Jordan with his power had the chance to influence like Black Lives Matter or something like that. Like, that would be huge to kind of like end racism and use it as a tool against racism. You also have like documentaries like Tiger King and Indian Matchmaking this past week has been going crazy. I haven't really gotten much into those. There was the Kygo documentary. I don't even think it was released during quarantine, but I watched it during quarantine. It's really cool if you're a Kygo fan. There was the Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. That one was terrible, especially if you're a Cubs fan, because that was just a Mark McGwire documentary that was kind of like blanketed as a both Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire 1998 season explanation. It was all Mark McGwire with like a feature of Sammy Sosa for 2 minutes. And then there's this new one, Down to Earth with Zac Efron, where he kind of goes and shows you geographical regions around the world and what they're doing to kind of preserve the earth and help the earth survive for generations to come. And also he like goes through the different food techniques that they use and what the different foods and the ways that they cook it or different things that they eat, which is also really cool. So definitely check those out. So at number 2, this might be a little controversial, but we have Twitter drama and fights. And this has been going crazy over like the past month, like running rampant consistently. Every week there's something new. And it's interesting, but it's also, it's been serious, which is like, I can't even kind of say, oh, like this is just people being bored. Like it's gotten really serious and over some interesting issues. I think there's an idea that people, I think things that were okay maybe like a 10 years ago or like 2013 that aren't okay now are being addressed. And a lot of people are learning. And I think that one of the major things to people that are getting canceled or that are getting just completely destroyed on the internet is, hey, take this as a learning experience. Whenever you have something going on, or maybe you're not so up to date with the information about this, learn about it. And that is what number 1 is on the quarantine pastime list. Is everyone's getting educated, which is really nice to see. People are getting educated on human rights, on racism, on history. Oh, I forgot the Hamilton series is on, or Hamilton the play is on Disney Plus, and I think that is a great way to learn about history through plays of music and contemporary rap that kind of mold our generation and the historical figures that we're learning about. You can kind of personify them into these characters that are so appealing in Hamilton, and that's a great way to learn about things and actually retain the information. And then another important thing is you're also learning a lot about like yourself and your family and your culture and things that you kind of want to change, maybe that you want to, you can take some good things from that culture, but you also see the bad things that you kind of want to drop and kind of become more modern in. And I think that has a lot to do with like social issues, women's rights, minority rights. I think it's all something that we can learn from and adapt into our cultural techniques and what we're brought up with, and you kind of take the best of both worlds. I know this is a sports podcast and this episode is heavy with some social justice issues. When sports come back this week, we'll have much more to talk about. It's pretty dry right now, but also I think this stuff needs to be said, and I hope all of us can implement it and just help our society become a better society and safer for those people. I hope, again, you and your families are all staying safe, doing well. As we wrap up the show, you can find us at 23 is the mic on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me personally at NadeemN22 on Instagram and at TheDreamN22 on Twitter. And we look forward to next week's episode. We'll probably have an NBA season preview. We'll have a recap of Cubs versus Brewers. That's this Friday. Man City just won 4-0 against Watford, so that's something to look forward to, even though the season's kind of over. But we're looking forward to also Champions League soccer, which will be very, very fun. And we're just glad to have you all back. Glad to be back with 23 is the Mic. I love this show. I love podcasting. And I'm really excited for this next journey with you guys. All right. Stay safe. Love you guys. Bye.